Get snacking and get cracking with a snack that packs a protein punch. Pistachios are known for their protein power, fiber, and better-for-you unsaturated fats for a combination that may help you keep feeling fuller longer. Wonderful Pistachios is a good source of protein with zero guilt. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. I love that they come in a variety of sizes and flavors, making this the perfect protein snack for any on-the-go adventure. Check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Howdy, everybody. Welcome to the Flow Track Podcast. I'm Liv Ekpone, joined with Ashley Titians. It's been a very wild weekend, to say the least. Lots of stuff has been happening from cross country. We're finally done. Can you believe it? We're finally done with high school cross country.
It's weird.
It's very weird.
I don't know how I feel about it. I feel like cross country, it's always a long season, but for some reason it went by really quickly this year, I feel like.
Marathons are still happening. Indoor season is kicking off full force, which we will dive into a little bit. We also have a very special guest joining us, but before we dive into our shows, of course, we have to thank our wonderful sponsors at Wonderful Pistachios. If you guys are looking for a delicious and nutritious snack with a real protein punch, look no further than Wonderful Pistachios. Each 1 ounce serving of Wonderful Pistachios contains 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. It's one of the highest protein nuts out there. But actually, that is not all. Pistachios are also known for their fiber and their better for you unsaturated fats, which may help you keep feeling fuller longer. And the best part about this is Wonderful Pistachio comes in a variety of flavors and sizes. I know Ashley talks about the sea salt and vinegar. Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed with the seasoned salt and also the regular one as well. So you can grab them. They're easy to be on the go. So whether you're dropping the kiddos off in the line, whether you're getting ready for the indoor track season, fuel up with a healthy and tasty snack. Wonderful Pistachios will be your now go-to snack. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. As I mentioned, we finally ended cross-country season on the high school side. So we have a very special guest joining us. Ashley, who do we have joining the podcast today?
Yes, today we have the Foot Locker boys champion, Drew Griffith, joining us on the show. He's from Butler High School out in Pennsylvania. He's a senior there. And the Notre Dame signee this weekend had a phenomenal race at Foot Locker in San Diego. He won in 15:06, I believe, for 5K to cap off his final high school cross-country season. I know you and I were watching the race, and so we're super excited to have Drew on the show with us today. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem.
So, okay, let's take it back to, like, I don't know, maybe like
Friday
or like the days leading up to Foot Locker. You know, what were those emotions like for you going into that meet? Like, how were you feeling? Like, were you feeling confident, any nerves? Like, what was your mindset going into Foot Locker?
Yeah, so I felt super confident. I mean, everything had kind of been clicking for the past 2 weeks. Just felt super good in training. And then when it was time to, like, get ready to leave for the meet, you know, I really didn't have any nerves. I just, like, was ready to get out there and have some fun, you know. Last high school cross-country meet, and no matter what happens, I'm still proud of everything I've done so far in my my career. So I just wanted to go out there and have some fun.
You didn't have any nerves, like not even a butterfly motion in your stomach, like none of that?
I mean, definitely, like, once I got to the course, I started to get a little nervous. But just, I mean, like, before that, I was just, like, all right, it's just a weekend of fun. I mean, all these guys are great guys, and gonna spend some time with them, and ready to just get on the line and, you know, see what I got.
Mm-hmm. Is that how you approach every race, kind of with that fun mentality? And what was just kind of your race strategy going into Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, definitely just wanted to have fun again. But race strategy, kind of established myself out there, but not lead the race until it was time to make a big move. And I knew going into the race that the second hill was going to be the spot I wanted to make the move. And I just kept telling myself, if I'm in the race, I can win it. And sure enough, at the second loop at that hill, I was still in the race. And I was like, all right, it's time to go. And I just never looked back after that.
Yeah, let's talk about those hills for a second. I mean, we all know you're from Pennsylvania. I'm sure it's hilly up there training in Pennsylvania. Do you think that kind of played to your advantage and, like, part of the reason why you decided to make your move up on that second hill?
Yeah, definitely. We focus a lot on hills, and almost, like, every single one of my runs has some sort of hill unless I'm on the trail. But I love to get lots of hills in, and, yeah, that was definitely a reason I made my move there.
Mm-hmm. Ashley and I, as she mentioned, we were watching this live, and, like, we're texting back and forth, and all of a sudden, coming down the first hill the first time, Ty Stewart's just, like, bolted down, like, full-fledged. It looked like he was sprinting, but I think he just let gravity kind of take him down the hill. What was just kind of your thought when that move was made? Because I felt like it was a very tight pack. Like, there were at least eight of y'all up there, and it looked like no one wanted to make the move, but Ty decided to go after it and go after for the lead. So what were you thinking when that occurred?
Yeah, I remember going down the hill, and I was pretty happy with, like, my positioning at that point. I mm-hmm. had Cameron Todd right next to me, so I was like, all right, yeah, like, I'm with him, like, we're good. And then all of a sudden, I remember talking to him after the race about how just Ty just absolutely bolted off the hill. But I mean, he was just feeling really good, so I respect it. And I just knew that we had to keep him in sight. And for a little, I remember thinking, like, he might take it, honestly, like, if he just keeps running at this pace. But I knew we had to reel him in a little, and then by the time that second hill came around, it was a close enough gap that it was able to be made up in that short amount of time.
Mm-hmm. Now, this race, you know, tactically played out completely different than the girls' race that happened before y'all's. As we saw, like, in the girls' race, you had Rachel Forsyth just, like, I mean, she went out there like a rocket, and then just Leachman kind of reeled her in on the back half. Like, did you, I guess maybe the question is, for the boys' race, did you expect it to kind of play out the way it did, or did you expect it to be more kind of like how the girls' race played out?
I mean, to be honest, I wasn't really sure what to expect. A lot of people were talking before the race, like, we weren't sure who was going to take it out or what was really going to happen. So, yeah, just, like, went into the race trying to figure out who was going to take it. And then once somebody did, it was like, okay, just stick behind them. And I think that's what everybody else's plan was.
I know you mentioned that you wanted to make your move on that second hill, and it was at that point when I was watching you, I was like, this is the move that Drew is going after. Can he hold on? At what point did you realize that you were going to come across the finish line first? Was it, like, right at the finish line? Was it coming down that hill? At what point was that for you?
It was at the last road crossing.
Okay.
I think it was, like, you cross the road, and then it's just, like, a little bit of an uphill straightaway. I remember, like, usually I can see, like, somebody's shadow behind me, mm-hmm. and, like, I just saw my shadow, like, just, like, all alone, so I was like, oh, man, I think I actually have this in the bag, and just coming down that straightaway, I was just, like, super happy.
Now in this race, you know, on the boys' side, it was pretty historic, especially for the state of Pennsylvania. You and Ryan finished 1-2 there at Nationals, and you're also both going to Notre Dame next year, kind of a fun part of that as well. You know, what do you think that says about, you know, just the state of distance running in Pennsylvania, and how you guys are trying to, you know, almost cement, you know, legacy for that state right now?
Yeah, I mean, Pennsylvania just has so many good runners, just a lot of talent across the entire state, and I think we made it known this year. And I mean, even in past years, there's just been a lot of studs that come out of that the state, and I think we're pretty slept on, to be honest. There's not a lot of talk about how good we are, but I mean, now there's definitely some talk about our state now.
I mean, hey, PA don't play.
PA don't play. I have a quick follow-up to that, kind of on the same line. John Davern messaged us, and he's like, Philadelphia guys or Pennsylvania guys know how to, like, get after and attack the hills. Compared to Balboa Parks Hill, how does that, like, compare to the hills that you've run on back home?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of hills back home that are pretty similar. I mean, even on our course, I wouldn't say we have exactly like that course, but the steepness of that one hill is definitely seen a lot throughout a lot of courses that are back in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, so kind of to your advantage there. Okay, Ashley and I had to insert this question here because we listened to your post-race interview with our colleague Corey Mullen. You talked about ping pong. So have you always been a ping pong guy, and was this kind of the key to your Foot Locker success this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I've always loved ping pong. I play a lot with my dad, and we got a table like probably like 10 years ago, honestly. And I used to play them all the time. And coming in this weekend, I was kind of rusty. You know, I hadn't played in a while, but there's a ping pong table in the lounge, and somebody hopped on the table, and I was like, all right, I'll play them. And then I ended up playing like a ton of ping pong the day before, so. Yeah, it was just like it was a nice way to just relax and just like, you know, get your mind off the race, because I think that's kind of important to just like sit back, relax, and just have some fun before and after.
Now, you know, if you're looking at your season as a whole, you've had such a successful season, obviously, you know, ending it here being a national champion. But what do you think, if you look at the past moments from this whole season, like what do you think stands out to you as like your biggest highlight of the season?
I mean, definitely this weekend is like the biggest highlight, but if I had to say something other than that, probably winning my state meet. I mean, I've come pretty close to winning that meet a couple times, and even in track winning a state title, but that one was just like something that's always been tough to me to go out at the state level and perform, and this year I was able to come away with it.
As you kind of move into the remainder of the season, we know that you're going to be going to Notre Dame. Ashley's really excited about that. How excited are you for the next chapter, and what are you looking forward to for your freshman season as well?
Yeah, I'm super pumped. I'm not sure what the freshman season has in store for me, but I know I'm super excited to get out there with my guys. And I spent a lot of time with Cameron, Colin, and Ryan this weekend, and man, we just had a blast. Like, we were just always laughing together, always doing something. So, yeah, whatever it is, I think we're all ready for it.
All right, so we have to ask. We ask all of our guests this question on the show. It's a very tough question. Do you prefer track season or cross-country season better, and why?
Cross-country, easily. I don't know. It's just like it's just a sport that I've come to love over the years, and it's like kind of made me who I am today. Mm-hmm. Just like started there instead of track. I don't know, just the love for the sport. So yeah.
Amazing. Drew, before we let you go, I have one final question for you. As I mentioned, outdoor season is like, before we know, I know we're talking about indoor, but like the indoor season is just like snap of a fingers, blink of an eye, and then all of a sudden it's outdoor. What are your goals looking into the outdoor season? What are you looking to accomplish?
Probably just hopefully perform well at my state meet again, and maybe at the national level too. But just mainly have some fun. I mean, this is my last high school season, and I've heard a lot of college guys say they don't treat you as well at college meets as well as they do at high school meets, like Foot Locker or New Balance Nationals. So just enjoy the moments like those, and just have some fun while I can with all the other people that are still in high school.
I love it. Drew, congratulations on being the Foot Locker National Champion over the weekend. We are so proud of you. Keep up the great work, and we're wishing you all the best as your season unfolds.
Yep. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks, Drew. All right, Ashley, what a great interview with the national champion over the weekend at Balboa Park in San Diego. Along with what he has done, there's been other huge news that occurred in the track and field space Let's kick it off with Caitlin Tui.
Yes, I think
goes pro with Adidas.
This was the big breaking news of the week.
Yeah.
When was it? I think it was, gosh, was it Wednesday? I think it was Wednesday.
Wednesday, because I remember we were out to dinner.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And so news drops, Caitlin Tui announces she is going to forgo the rest of her collegiate eligibility and turn pro, signing with Adidas. That was also, you know, the same shoe sponsor that she had that NIL deal with that she signed back in, I believe, November last year. And, you know, to be honest, I'm not super surprised about this. I don't know if you are, but, you know, I think, you know, in seeing some of the conversations she had after she announced her deal, and, you know, some conversation with Coach Hennis as well, and, you know, in Raleigh at NC State, I think kind of the mindset was she wanted to end her collegiate career in cross country. She wanted one more season of cross country with her team and then move on in her journey. And so this is what we're seeing here. But I mean, hey, she's going out on a high note. She was a four-time NCAA individual champion, I believe. You can't even count on probably two hands how many All-American awards she has.
Yes.
I mean, she certainly cemented her legacy at the NCAA level, and she's decided, hey, now's the moment to move on.
I couldn't agree with you more. I'm not surprised by this at all. I feel like it's 1 year after she signed her NIL deal with Adidas, and I feel like she doesn't have much to prove. And honestly, I kind of got the same vibe, like how you just interpreted, like how she wanted to end her collegiate season career for the team. And she did that at the cross country meet just a few weeks ago. And so now I really feel like there's nothing more to prove. And I can't even count how many all-time marks she has set over her career.
I mean, collegiate records, I mean,
goodness gracious. Yeah. So it's like, what else is there for you to do, you know?
Yeah. And again, she went on a high note, not just, you know, for herself individually, but for a team. And
yeah.
I feel like it's pretty evident with her and all the Wolfpack women, I think, as well, just how much that team means to them. They win their third straight title. Again, I know you and I both saw a lot of that, just a raw emotion that they had when they won the team title back in Charlottesville a couple weeks ago. And so I think this just was, you know, kind of the perfect sending off party almost for Tui. And, you know, this impact that she's had on this program in the past few years that she's been there has been remarkable.
Yeah. And someone just wrote in the comments, like, essentially saying all the female NCAA record breakers, like Britton Wilson, Julian Alfred, Talitha Diggs, like,
That's
they've
true.
All have done something. And they're all pro now.
Yeah.
So again,
it's
there's
kind
nothing
of the trend.
More to prove.
Yeah,
you know?
I guess that's the point. And like you're right, Julian Alfred, Britton Wilson. It gets to that point where it's like, all right, I need to find a new way maybe to challenge myself or just that next step in order to push myself even more. But that's a good point. I mean, think about it. The NCAA space when you come indoor-outdoor is going to look so different now.
Yeah.
Especially on the women's side, when you think about everyone who has left.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
Like, that's why I was thinking, I think it was last show or the show before, how I was like, the 60 meters, who's that heavy favorite? Because I don't know.
It's
feel like it's opened up a lot more now, which makes it even more exciting because there's not that one particular athlete that I'm like, yes, makes sense to me.
So, I guess this wasn't super surprising. And then, also not surprised either, I believe I saw that she's going to continue training in Raleigh with Coach Hennis, and then when she does her altitude training, I think she's going to Flagstaff.
So, okay.
Again, all in all, not super surprising. Just a big step for one of the all-time greats at the high school level, the collegiate level, and now we'll see what she does at the pro level. And especially, it's an Olympic year, if you think about it, too.
Yeah.
This is her time where she can focus on, you know, trying to do something well at the trials, potentially, and putting herself up there in consideration, potentially, in some of those events.
Couldn't agree more. Mm-hmm. Along those lines, there have also been a lot of other signings, this time for NIL deals across the board. There were so many. I was like, can I keep up? Let's start with Mikayla Rose and Adidas. I'm going to be honest with you. With this one, I was kind of surprised. And I think...
Why's that?
I think I'm a little bit surprised, just if you think about it, right? Caitlin Tui, NC State program, Adidas. Parker Valby with Florida, Nike. Here we have LSU Tigers, sponsored by Nike, Mikayla Rose, Adidas. My brain just was
I don't think it's as surprising as you'd think.
I think it is.
Because think about it, right? Okay, if you're...
Like, if you sign with On, cool.
Not
I feel
to get
like
ahead
it's
of
not...
the game. But think about it. Roisin Willis has her deal with New Balance. She's
yes, but, like, she's been a huge individual, like, I'm thinking high school, too, that's been competing numerous times New Balance.
I think it's at the point
now.
So,
to me, that wasn't surprising.
I think it's just, honestly, at the point now where we're seeing... Obviously, the NIL space has grown so much, right?
Right.
you're just shopping, like, it probably to a degree, you're shopping around trying to find the best deal, the best bang for your buck. And so mm-hmm. it's like, I think now that it's to that point where if there's like not an alignment between the school and, you know, it's not as surprising. I mean, think about Shaun T. Jackson, Brooks.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was surprised by that, though. I was surprised by that.
Okay. At this point, nothing surprises me.
Yeah.
So, but you're right. That wasn't the only NIL deals that were signed this week, were they?
Yes. The twins, Lex and Leo Young, go with On. Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised by that.
No, because it seems like On has a thing going with Stanford athletes.
Yes, I'm like, the Stanford athletes are on the cloud nine right now.
They already have Cole Sprout. They already have Juliet Whitaker, I believe, as well.
Yes.
And so, continuing on that, I guess, relationship of sorts with the Stanford athletes there.
Yes. So, I thought that was really interesting. Also, big news. So, we just had Drew Griffith join us. He competed at Foot Locker Nationals. And then, all of a sudden, there was an announcement made right before the races kicked off that three athletes signed NIL deals with Hoka. And those individuals are Cole Mathiesen, Carrie Beloga, and Natalie Cook. Ashley, what do they all have in common?
They all won Foot Locker.
They all won Foot Locker Nationals.
They have the Colorado connections.
Colorado connections. I was like, okay, this just got really interesting. Yeah. I was not expecting to hear, like, I think this is great that, like, you have national champions, previous winners of Foot Locker signing with Hoka. That's great. I was expecting high school kids. That's where my brain automatically went. I was like, oh, wait, let me do some digging. Mm-hmm. Who's wearing what right now?
Yeah.
So I was kind of surprised by that, but kind of not. I understand the approach that Hoka had.
Yeah, I think it reads as just like they're trying to establish this relationship, I think, with Foot Locker now that they are the title sponsor of that meet. So it's mm-hmm. like, okay, how can we keep this connection alive and maybe, you know, bringing in some of those past champions, signing these deals with them to hopefully kind of continue fostering that Hoka Foot Locker connection.
It's kind of interesting to see how this NIL thing is developing.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like, you think, for instance, Foot Locker, Hoka establishing mm-hmm. that relationship, On is doing this whole thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like Stanford athletes are just like flying on cloud nine right now. It's just interesting to me how it's just, I guess, the marketing play.
It's also interesting because it's a lot of these companies betting on some of these elite athletes that, hey, when you are done at school and you are ready to, you know, potentially go run on at the professional level, you'll sign mm-hmm. with us. I feel like that's part of the play.
Right.
But then also, I don't know, can I talk for my soapbox?
Ashley, go ahead. Ashley has the floor.
Just talking about NIL in general. I have a lot of just thoughts about NIL.
Okay.
I love NIL, first mm-hmm. off. I'm putting that out there. I think, you know, love it. I just wish that, like, since it's becoming so much bigger, so much more common, I feel like there's just still so many unknowns about NIL deals. And, like, I get it. That's all, like, it's not public information. But, like, I do wish we had, not just for, you know, outsiders, but for athletes, too, just some more transparency on, like, okay, like, what do these deals entail? And, like, you know, yada, yada, yada. So that way, for some of these athletes that are looking for deals, they know what's a fair deal for themselves.
I agree. I think it's interesting how it's been so disclosed. Like, we really don't know much information besides, like,
you're with this company.
You're with this company. I'm seeing you post about it on social media, and I occasionally see you at events.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm thinking about Foot Locker. They were all there. Cole Mathiesen was there. Carrie Beloga was there. Natalie Cook was there. And she was there as the South Region coach.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she was heavily involved in, you know, getting personal with these athletes. But outside of that, I don't know what all goes into that.
Again, I feel like it's just one of those things where it would benefit the athletes a lot more if there's just more awareness, maybe per se, like what's involved in these contracts, what you're getting out of it, just so, you know, athletes are getting their fair share. And just also, I'm just kind of curious.
I'm curious too. And I think a lot of people are also, like, when you say NIL deal, what does that consist? Like, I get it, like, name, image, likeness, but what is some of that fine print that goes along with it?
Because I think a lot of NIL deals are maybe not as specific as you would think, maybe more generic than maybe you would realize. And so, again, and I think they all differ as well. So
they all differ.
You know, I'm just curious.
I'm curious, too.
I want transparency. So,
I would love to know a little bit more about that as well. So, as we just mentioned, Cole Matizan, Carrie Beloga, Natalie Cook, they were all at Foot Locker National Championships, and I thought it was a great race as a whole. We just had Drew Griffith join us on the show, but let's talk about how wild this girls' race was.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of expected it to be the way that it was. You had Elizabeth Leachman, who's been... Her race strategy is get out and hold on. It was like a Parker Valby, Caitlin Toohey race,
but
to be
completely
honest.
She didn't do that this
Very
time.
True. Mm-hmm. And then Rachel Forsythe, that's also what she does. However, what we noticed was Rachel Forsythe, goodness gracious, 2:23
for the first
800, 5 minute flat at the first mile. I nearly fell out of my chair.
Just, yeah, I know.
I was like, did she just really go through the first mile in 5 minutes?
I mean, it's a big gamble, especially, but I mean, it's for Rachel Forsythe. She's from Ann Arbor Pioneer in Michigan, and
yeah,
she hasn't really been challenged all season, right? So it's a lot of just that, like, hey, let me get out in this race, get out like a rocket, and like no one's going to challenge me. I'm just racing against the clock to get the win. But obviously at a national championship stage, sometimes it doesn't always play out that way, even if you do try to put some pressure on the field, like, hey, I'm going to take it out hard, come and catch me.
Yeah.
But that doesn't always play out, and we saw that it didn't necessarily play out that way.
What ended up happening was Elizabeth Leachman, who is a sophomore from Bernie Champion in Texas, she learned a lot from NXN.
Yes.
Just a week ago. She finished 15th overall. She did the approach that we normally see with her. Get out hard, hold on, and pray no one catches me. But when you're stacked up against many talented individuals, that doesn't necessarily work out in that way. Like, you can't hold off,
no,
you know, a strong horse like that. You're competing against other strong horses. So she didn't get out as aggressively, and she wasn't front running for the first time. So she remained patient, and then she let Rachel do all the hard work. And all of a sudden, here you see Elizabeth Leachman climbing up that second hill at Balboa Park and cross the finish line in a 16:50.70, which is the ninth fastest time in meet history at Morley Field. And this is her 11th and final win of the season. She became the second Texan to win Foot Locker, right behind Natalie Cook, who won this in 2021. Were you surprised by how Leachman approached this race, just knowing what she did at NXN and just how she's been running kind of all season?
I don't know if I'd be surprised, just because I think she's one to learn from her mistakes, just because I know we've talked to her before, and I think she's very analytical, right? Mm-hmm. Like, she's gonna want to put herself in the best position to win. Mm-hmm. And I believe she said it, you know, afterward the race, like, yeah, usually her best approach to win is, hey, let's just go out really hard and just put down a really fast time and just blow everyone away. But I think she realized after NXN that, like, hey, I can't do that, mm-hmm, because it may backfire, and especially on a course like Balboa Park, that's, you know, definitely not like the easiest course in the world, that's for sure. Like, I think that strategy, you know, played really well. She let, you know, Rachel Forsythe go out really hard, and she said, you know what, I'm gonna be patient, which I think shows maturity, you know, just for a sophomore, you know, saying, hey, I'm gonna be patient, gonna work my way up, I trust my fitness and my ability to then, you know, at the end be on top.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree with you there. I think, like you said, she did learn, and even after I spoke with her at NXN, she's like, I definitely learned from this race, and I'm going to definitely take what I learned and apply it into my races ahead. And she definitely...
That's for sure.
She did that for sure. So in the boys' race, as we mentioned with Drew, completely different.
Yes.
Lots of pack running. No one wanted to take that lead. It wasn't until Ty Stewart's came down that first hill, and it looked like he was sprinting, but I think, honestly, he was just running with gravity and allowed him to propel forward. Another small pack, and then all of a sudden, Drew Griffith, Ryan Pajak was right there also, Cameron Todd, like, they were all in that mix as well. So, boys' race completely different. I know we were literally just talking about this at our desk up top, just naturally, girls are just like, woo, let's just go do our thing. Guys tend to run in that pack running, so I know you're not surprised by that, but,
no. You
know, just after talking with Drew, just what are your overall thoughts from the boys' race?
Again, I think it kind of went as expected. We saw someone, you know, about, not even halfway, but coming, you know, as you said, coming down that first hill, that's the first decisive move that someone made in the field, like, all right, I'm going to take this race.
Mm-hmm.
And then for a lot of those guys that we figured would be in consideration, like Drew Griffith, Ryan Pajak, and, you know, some of those other guys, Cameron Todd, they just kind of waited for, you know, that back half, that second hill, to really make their move. And that's really what ended up happening. And I'm not really surprised. I feel like a lot of the kind of the key players that you typically see, or like the key players that you saw finish well at like NXN or Foot Locker last year? It kind of played out in a similar fashion here, I believe.
Yeah, I agree. 15:06 to grab the victory there for Drew. Ryan finished second with a 15:12, and Tamarat Gavaness was third with a 15:06. Ty, who made that very bold move, finished sixth with a 15:21, but great performances. We can finally close cross country.
I'm kind of sad.
I'm pumped, because that means indoor is freaking here, and indoor has started out but hot and blazing.
I'm sad. Cross country is so fun. It's so fun.
I must say, I am going to miss cross country, because it's straight into the point. Now indoor, it's like,
see, I can't,
we're about to have, it's going to be long, like long days, but I'm all for the sprints.
But you, see, you know me, I like cross country meets because then I can run around everywhere.
Yes.
And like
if
see
you
everything
have not
out.
Seen Ashley at a cross country meet, this woman is running from the start to the mid race to the end.
I mean, I got to see every part of the race.
I'm good with watching the Jumbotron and listen to the comment. That's where I'm at.
Cross country is also a spectator.
Very spectator friendly.
No, a sport. Like, you got to be in shape. So,
oh, you have to be. Yeah.
I think that's why I like it, because I'm not just spectating. I'm also participating as well. So, yeah.
You're also participating.
Yep.
I love it. Speaking of indoor, we got to talk about our girl, Jamecia Ford.
We had some big highlights in the first, like, week or so of indoor.
My
I think we got to break them down.
My goodness. Let's start with Jamecia, because I am mind blown. She's a freshman at South Carolina, from North Carolina, from Ashley's neck of the woods. Mm-hmm. We love her. She's amazing. We're huge fans of her. Y'all, she ran the second fastest time in collegiate history this weekend in the 300 meters with a 35.83. And honestly, I could not believe it when I saw it.
I'm shocked.
I was completely shocked.
Liv, today's December 11th.
It's December. Like, I think she was like 0.03 of a second off. Is it Abby Steiner?
Yes, Abby Steiner.
I remember texting you. I'm like, dude, like, I don't think people realize how fast this was. And she's a freshman.
Okay, but
freshman.
But also, I'm just now really I'm really curious to see what she does this year. It's the fastest time in the world so far this year as well. But
oh my gosh.
If you think about it, if you look at what she did in high school, I mean, she was a 51.400 runner.
She did blossom late.
Yes. So
I must say that she did find her wings a little bit later.
Correct.
In her high school career.
So
which I think
like
is great, because that means
you can really progress,
you can really,
when you
yes,
get to the collegiate
ramp
level.
It up. Yes, mm-hmm. That's what yeah. I mean. I don't feel like she went guns a-blazing from the beginning, and like
Agreed.
Now we're just
she's,
waiting for it to fall.
She's going to have to be someone we keep our eyes on, especially, I know a couple weeks ago we talked about how wide open the 400 is going to be.
Did that change?
I want to see her run a 400. Let's just put it that way. I'm really excited.
Yeah, and then her teammate, Aikens, went 36.77 in that same race as well. It was, gosh, South Carolina, goodness. What are they doing over there?
I mean, hey, there's something in the water there in Columbia, I guess.
It's just wild. But that wasn't all the biggest news that happened over the weekend. WWE star Brock Lesnar's daughter, Maya, breaks the school record. Insane. In the shot put.
Let's give some context here.
Yes.
I think this
happened. This one's viral,
this
too.
This is viral news. Again, obviously, you put WWE superstar in that title there, and I think it grabs some eyes. But Maya Lesnar, again, the daughter of Brock Lesnar, she goes to Colorado State. She's mm-hmm. a thrower. She's a junior there. And she went viral because she broke the school record for Colorado State in the shot put indoors. She went 18.5 meters, and she leads the nation in that event. For context, that's like over, I think, 60 and a half feet, which
huge.
Is insane. Again, it's already the lead, the NCAA indoor lead early season. So.
Goodness gracious. It's too early for me. I needed to wait till January to, like, because now I'm just, like, amped, but now we're about to have this pause because it's, like, the holidays.
True.
And the athletes are still training.
True.
So now I gotta wait till January to get, like, hype again. So now I'm up here, and eventually I'm just going to drop a little bit more. Wow. But way to kick off the indoor season. as we kick off the indoor season, I feel like we're now in this phase, not phase, but we're shifting now towards end of the year celebrations where we highlight extraordinary performances. And with that being said, the Bowerman Award is going to be announced this Thursday, December 14th in Denver, Colorado. And I feel like we need to make our predictions on who we think or who we would give this Bowerman Award. This is a very prestigious award. It's like the Heisman for track and field. Let's start with the ladies' side. The finalists are Julian Alfred from Texas. You have Jasmine Moore from Florida and Britton Wilson from Arkansas. Great, talented individuals. And even just reading more on their bios, I think it made it even more challenging for me to make a pick on who I think deserves the Bowerman. But I'm going to kick it off to you. I did not look at your answers, so I don't know if we agreed or not.
I looked at yours after I made my answers.
But okay.
I won't tell you.
Well, you're about to go for, or unless you want me to go first.
I'll start with my female. Let's start with female, and then we'll go to the guys.
Who's your female pick?
When is the last time we have seen a sprinter more dominant than Julian Alfred?
Okay, we're on the same page here.
Thank you. Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
Let's talk about this here. Like, again, since when have we seen a sprinter dominate across every event, indoors and outdoors, like she did? What, name a time.
The most recent one that comes into mind is Abby Steiner. That's the most recent one.
Okay, well, put her in that category. Probably a notch higher, personally.
A notch higher? Okay.
She won the 100 and 200 at NCAA Outdoors. Didn't she win the 60 and the 200 meter indoors, I believe?
Abby or
Julian? No, we're talking about Julian Alfred.
Oh, yeah, she won the 60. Yeah, she won the 60 and the 200 indoors.
And then one and two.
And one and two outdoors, yeah.
Correct. And she's the collegiate record holder, I believe, in the 60 meters.
Yes.
I mean, come on. Like, there's that. That's that resume is just. I'm talking. We're talking in the span of like, what, 6 months? She won four NCAA individual titles and set a collegiate record in the 60. Like, come on. There's again, and obviously Jasmine Moore and Britton Wilson did spectacular things as well. They've also set records themselves, but like. Again, I think that dominance, especially when it came to, like, championship season, I think that does it for me. I think you can't deny Julian Alfred.
Let's dive into this a little bit more.
She
lowered the collegiate record in the 65 times.
See? Come on. Dominance.
Five.
Dominance.
6.94 is ridiculous.
I know. Mm-hmm.
Collegiate record in the 200, indoors, 22.01. And I remember watching that race, and I was like, homegirl almost went 21 seconds indoors. That was the second fastest time in not just collegiate history, world history.
Yeah.
World history. 22.01.
I agree with you.
And then she helped lower the collegiate record in the 4x1. They did that three times. 41.55, which we saw with our own two pupils at NCAA's because it was in Austin.
Yes, that's right.
And I was completely... I can't remember if I was up out of my chair. I was just like, well, here we go. They did it again. They did it again.
Yep.
41.55. Clocked the fastest all-time conditions in the 100 and the 200. 10.72 twice and 21.73. And then clocked a win legal marks of 10.83, 21.91, which equals number four, number two all-time collegiate history. Julian Alfred has my
vote. There you go. All the stats.
I had to break that
I'm
down.
I'm glad we're in unison.
I
there.
Broke that down and like... What Britton Wilson and Jasmine Moore have done, incredible.
Yes.
The fact that Britton Wilson did what she did with that 400 hurdle double, I applaud her.
Me too.
Homegirl's not signing up for that task. Absolutely not. That is ridiculous. Plus running on the 4x4.
Yeah. I think they're all great choices.
All great choices.
I think you have to go with Alfred just in the, if you just look at her resume.
Okay. Now, I must say on the men's side, I struggled with this one a little bit.
Okay, me too.
I had a very hard time because all three of these gentlemen are amazing. Like,
I don't know. We haven't listened to them.
I'm so sorry. I got so excited. Men, Jaden Hibbert from Arkansas, Kyle Garland from Georgia, and Leo...
Neugebauer
from Texas. And what's interesting about this is, like, Jaden's a jumper, and Kyle and Leo are multis.
Like, and Kyle did the 400.
And he did, yes. Yeah, yeah. So the fact that, like, not really, like, a pure sprinter makes me excited. So I think that's why I'm torn. Again, I don't know who you put down.
Can I make my pick? Did you look?
No, I'm not. I literally scrolled past your notes, so I would look. Okay, who'd you pick?
Okay. Again, I had a tough time with this one.
I struggled. I probably pondered on this for like 10 minutes. I'm like, who would I pick?
But then I just thought back to what I witnessed in person at NCAA Outdoors.
Okay, I think I know where you're going. Are we on the same page here?
When I tell you that Leo was dominant at NCAA Outdoors, again, I saw it with my two pupils. I'm not kidding. I mean, like, he literally, when I tell you, because I was out there doing all, like, the social coverage.
Yeah.
And I was out there watching every event of the decathlon. And when I tell you that this guy looked like a freak of nature out there, I'm not even kidding. What he did, you know, looking at his outdoor season, especially that meet at NCAAs, he destroyed the DEC collegiate record to win an NCAA championship. He also set, I believe, a German national record with that mark as well. And one of the top performers, I think number 6 all time in world history.
Number eight. You were close.
Like, that kind of athleticism and dominance for me, I think, wins the award. So are we on the same page?
We're on the same page. However,
You read my mind.
Yes. However, I put Jaden down first. He was my original pick. But then I thought about it, and I'm like, he's a, like, freshman phenom. So I'm thinking, in the back of my head, they're probably going to give it to someone who is about to, like, step out of the doors.
I believe Leo is still at UT. Just letting you know.
True, but he's not a freshman, though.
True. But I think, maybe whether this is right or not, I think the fact that, like Leo went out there and destroyed it at a championship meet, I believe Jaden Hibbert got injured at NCAA Outdoors. Mm-hmm. And not to obviously that's not his fault.
Right.
Not to discount that at all. But if you're the committee, maybe that does, like, sway your decision.
It does. Because it, yeah. But that, I originally had Jaden complete the NCAA title sweep, set indoor and outdoor collegiate records in the triple jump, which stood for more than 35 years, Ashley.
Yeah.
Like, we weren't even alive yet.
Maybe he does get the award then.
You know?
I don't know. Just for, like, the magnitude of those records and how long they had stood. And maybe that one's in the award. Again, this one was hard because
it was so hard to pick this one.
Again, I was torn between Leo and Jaden.
Yeah. And the fact that Jaden smashed the indoor record by 5 inches and then nearly a foot outdoors. Like, homie. Yeah. Homie had the hops all season.
I could see it. I could see if he gets
so that's
more,
why I struggled.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, do you take Leo's performance where he just, like, had literally the best 2 days smashing the collegiate record, German national record, top 10 all time in world history?
Yeah.
And then Jaden, who just, like, showcased pure dominance, breaking records that stood for nearly 4 decades.
Yeah.
It was hard to make that choice.
I pick Leo, but I could be wrong.
See, at the end of the day, I'm picking Leo. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day. But Jaden, I do. I'm a fan. I'm just going to throw that out there because I'm a huge fan. All right. We are about to shift. Well, not shift because it's still on the same path. We're going to talk about end of the year awards since I believe this is going to be probably our last show of 2023.
Potentially. Yeah.
As, you know, we're gearing toward the holidays and then the New Year's, all the festivities and then all the stuff. So we're just going to give out our awards. That way we have all our bases covered. So we're going to talk about the best performance, coach of the year, and then our athlete of the year. So let's start with the best performance. So this performance is like, it replays in your brain every single day. You're obsessed with it. You'll never forget this moment ever in your life.
Wow, that's the bar is set high.
And I picked performances that were not world record breaking performances because I feel like,
correct, yeah,
for me, the world records are always going to be in my brain. So this is like a non-world record performance that you'll not forget. So, Ashley,
okay,
what would that be for you?
Well, I have my personal pick, but then I'll put out a pick that I believe the people will want to hear.
Okay, wait. You picked one that the people want to hear and one that you pick?
Yeah.
Okay, so what do the people want to hear?
The people want to hear Sha'Carri Richardson winning the 100 at Worlds.
Okay.
Let's be honest. Come on,
like,
and I do feel like that's fair. Like, I think people weren't sure how she would perform against the Jamaicans. And she won in a big way. Let's just put it that way. I think that's the one that people want to hear.
Okay.
Very obviously. However, my personal favorite.
Ashley's personal pick is.
My personal favorite that replays in my head from time to time because I was there watching it with my two eyeballs.
I'm looking at your notes, and literally that's the one I was going to pick too. I didn't pick it though. Okay. I didn't pick it.
Go back to the Prefontaine classic.
I watched the race this weekend.
I remember watching the battle between. Now you're just making me laugh.
I'm sorry. It's just so funny how we both thought about the same thing.
Oh, man. Jakob Ingebrigtsen versus
Jan Vergeus. It was the most fascinating race ever.
When I tell you I've never seen a mile race like that before in my life.
Oh, my gosh.
And I got to see it in person. And how historic that race was, if you're looking at what happened in that race. Jakob Ingebrigtsen won this race in 3:43.73, the third fastest time in world history. But then the real highlight in my mind is Jarred Nagus running 3:43.97 for a new American record. In the event, he smashed the previous record by nearly 3 seconds, which had been held by Alan Webb for nearly 20 years. I believe he was set back in 2007. Also, that time puts him at number four all time in the world. So, again, I remember that just like yesterday, the way the crowd was reacting to.
Oh my gosh.
Like, seeing, I thought for a second Yard was going to go around him, and I was like, oh my God.
But I think on top of that, we were at the press conference the day before, and they were, you can sense the tension in the room.
I think it was coming from one direction, but.
Yeah, but still, it was just like, oh wow, like this tension in this room is very thick. It was heavy.
It was spicy.
It was very spicy during the press conference.
I think that
also kind of triggered my brain because I just remember that feeling. And then to then watch that race and Jarred Nagus just like
hanging in there. It was one of those things where like I figured it would be a good race, but I didn't expect it to be that crazy.
Yeah. I'm right there with Ashley. That's not my pick.
What's your pick?
Actually, I remember this because this person reshared my story, so like I remember this day. I want to take you back to trials, USA trials.
Okay.
In the women's 400, where we saw Cindy McLaughlin Laverne, and this woman went out, and literally my jaw was to the ground as she became the third woman in history, in U.S. history, to go sub 49 in the 400 meters with a 48.74.
That's a good choice.
My goodness gracious. I mean, we were there.
I remember watching it on TV. I wasn't there.
Wait, where were you? You weren't there?
Vacation time.
Remember? Oh, okay. Oh, I was with Bobby and Corey. That's right. I feel like every time I travel, I assume Ashley's with me because we're always traveling together.
Uh-huh.
But like, I specifically remember having goosebumps. Yeah. And just watching Sydney attack that 400 and her crossing the finish line in a, her face.
Yeah, the shock.
And then, like, I'm literally sitting in the stands and I'm watching her just, like, walk by me. And, like, I posted it on my story and she reposted it. And I literally lost it. I was like, Sydney and I are officially best friends. She doesn't know that, but she's my best friend.
Wow.
That is the performance of... When are we ever going to see another sub 49 from a U.S. woman?
Sydney this year.
Next year. Love that answer. Love that answer. So Sydney, again, sub 49. Just remarkable. Okay. Ooh, I like your pick for Coach of the Year.
Oh, thank you.
Sorry, I just saw that.
I was proud of that one.
I saw that. Okay, we're going to move into Coaches of the Year. Ashley has a really, really unique pick here.
I don't think it's that unique. I think it's awesome. I think it's a great pick. What other, training group team has been more dominant and impressive this year than the OAC? For me, the Coach of the Year has to go to Dathan Ritzenhain, just because how the OAC has been on a tear this year. When I say a tear, I mean a tear across all different kinds of events, distance-wise, male, female. I mean, just think for some of the heavy hitter names. You have Jarred Nagus, who, like we just mentioned, he broke the American record in the men's mile, which hadn't been touched since 2007. You have Alicia Munson, who, you could argue was, one of the best female American long distance runners this year, especially on the track, competed at Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can't even forget, too, about Helen O'Beery.
Yeah.
She won both the Boston and the New York City Marathon. Those aren't the only three guys, and gals on that team. Again, they had plenty of other athletes, competing at Worlds as well. And so I think when you look at this, it's kind of this thing where I think Ritzenhain, he knows how to coach these athletes. And help develop these pros.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty clear with how the results have been this year, and the progression has been awesome for his athletes. And I think, for that reason, if you think about it, right? Like, if you're looking at the distance running pro groups in the U.S., what's the first one that stands out in your mind if you're thinking of, like, this year? OAC. Which one has been the most successful? Probably OAC.
Yeah, so, they've been putting it together this year.
Also, shout out to his daughter, Addison Ritzenhine, for winning NXN, so he knows how to give his daughter some tips as well. So
yeah.
I give it to Dathan Ritzenhine.
I love that pick. My pick, I don't think is that surprising from me. I just went in and talked about Julian Alfred. I got to give it to her coaches, Coach Flo and Coach Ricky Morgan Jr. of Texas. What they have done for Texas this year is just remarkable. Just even thinking about, like, Rashid in the 400 meters, them winning NCAAs, Julian Alfred breaking all the collegiate records that she did from the 60, in the 60, 200, 4x1, making history. Like, that stood from Texas A&M for a long, long time. And the fact that they did it three times this season and dropped it all the way to 41.55, I never thought that record was going to be broken, to be honest. And I know I'm an Aggie, but, like, realistically, I was like, there's no way anyone's breaking that record. But the fact that they got four women to go 41.55, ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
I also think, too, this is, especially at Texas, it's obvious that they've taken a lot of gambles on, like, some of these international athletes and developed them into stars. And I think that was really apparent this year, with Julian Alfred and Adelaide. And so I think that also maybe adds to some of that as well, at least in my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So great job for all the coaches. Final award we're going to distribute is the Athlete of the Year. Ashley, who's your Athlete of the Year?
I had a tough time.
And I don't
think
people are going to be surprised by your athlete.
Really?
Yeah, because you talked about this person last show. Because you're like, this person
should be.
I can't remember what the conversation was, but you were all, you had this athlete's back. So I'm not surprised.
Okay. I know you went female.
I did.
I went with the male athlete of the year. I got to give it to Ryan Krauser.
Yeah.
If you're looking at his resume for this year, world champion in the men's shot put in a big way, was throwing while he had blood clots. I'm still kind of, like, mind blown by that.
That's ridiculous.
And he's still, and even while doing that, his winning throw was one of the best throws in shot put history. He threw 23.51 and, very close to his own world record. And speaking of world records, he broke his own world record in the shot put earlier this year at the LA Grand Prix, I think back in May, with a throw of 23.56. He's only lost one time this year, and that was second at Prefontaine to Joe Kovacs. And I think for me, it's just that Ryan Krauser is one of those guys that's just consistent year in and year out, right? Like, he's always in that conversation. You turn on, say you're a casual viewer, right, of track and field.
You turn casual on, viewers know Ryan Krauser.
You turn on the TV. Who do you see? Watching a big track meet. Who do you see dominating? Ryan Krauser.
Ryan Krauser.
Every year. So it's just like one of those guys. I feel like there aren't many other athletes quite at that caliber to continue producing and being dominant and consistent over such a long period of time like he can.
Mm-hmm.
So there's my vote.
I'm not surprised, but I also do respect that pick as well.
Thank you.
Rightfully so. When I was thinking about who I wanted to give my Athlete of the Year award to, there's so many talented individuals who could get Liv's award for this. It's really high up there. They want this on their resume. But I thought about an individual who does things that the typical athlete does not do. This athlete stands out from all the rest because I feel like they're a shiro, they know how to get after it, they're not afraid of pain. And that for me is Anna Hall. Like, Anna Hall is
Good pick.
For me. And I think about let's talk about indoor. I'm thinking about, like, the whole season, right?
Yeah.
Indoor season. I just remember watching USATF Indoor National Championships, and this woman decides to do the pent and the 400. She wins both. In the pent, she crushes the American record, number two all-time score with 5,004 points. Then she wins the 400, I think it was the day after or later that day, with a 51.03, which is
unheard of. Like, would you want to do that?
No.
Compete in the pent and then run a 400 after?
That sounds like my worst nightmare.
Absolutely not. And I feel like, as I mentioned, she's not afraid of pain and she's not afraid of pushing through barriers. Fast forward to outdoor. Wins trials. 6,677 points to win the HEP. Punches her ticket to Budapest. Earns the silver.
And she was injured.
Mm-hmm. Like,
what can this girl not do?
That's what I'm saying. That's Shiro. 6,720 points. And I just remember watching her 800, and she's just, like, exhausted, but with full of emotion because she was just so close to winning gold.
Yeah.
But there's nothing that she felt like she could have done differently or changed. Like, she literally left it out there.
Yeah.
And she works so hard day in and day out. And we even talked to a lot of high school athletes, and there's one in Washington that literally looks up to Anna Hall. Mm-hmm. And she also does the multis too. I'm thinking of Jaceanna Jarrah Holt. Mm-hmm. And so she's just paving the way of just like rewriting record books, but doing the things that challenge you, like get after it. So that's why I feel like Anna Hall deserves my Athlete of the Year award.
I like that choice. That's my good pick.
And that's my reason for it. Mm-hmm. Okay, before we wrap up this show, some other news did surface over the week. I'm going to let Ashley lead this because I'm even thinking about it right now. But Dion Lindor was one of my teammates back at Texas A&M, and there's now a foundation for him. He recently actually passed away in a car accident in 2022. He was a Bowerman Award winner, NCAA champion, broke multiple school records at Texas A&M. He's also an Olympian. And so now this wonderful foundation has developed, and I'm really excited about it. So here's an opportunity for all of our track fans and family to kind of support this as well.
Yeah, and you know, through this foundation, they're hoping to offer scholarships and grants to student athletes, build relationships with, you know, various stakeholders in the track and field space, and, you know, execute activities to increase the number, especially of teenage girls, you know, actively participating in organized sports, and so many more other ways that the foundation is, you know, trying to empower youth and young student athletes in honor of Dion. And so, you know, this was news that we got this week, and so just thought we'd share this with you guys in case you'd be wanting to consider donating today.
Yes, it's amazing. So go ahead and go to DionLindorFoundation.org to find ways of how you can get involved and also to donate as well. So, Ashley, I think that does it. This was a very busy show. There was a lot of things happening.
We talked about a lot.
We talked about so much. Again, we would not be here if it wasn't for y'all. So if you could do us a huge, huge favor, like, subscribe, leave comments, share this with your friends and family. We're so grateful for you. Again, I don't know if this is going to be our last show or if next week is going to be our last one, but I just want to wish everyone a happy holiday. Happy New Year.
Yes.
Excited for 2024. I'm so excited to see what is in store this upcoming season. I have to switch gears. Are you looking for anything? What are you looking for 2024?
What am I looking for?
Like, for your personal goals. I know you're running a marathon.
My personal goals?
Like, running-wise.
Running-wise?
Yes, you're very...
I have to share this with the pod?
I think the pod will... I want to know. I know for me, I know one of my goals is to run my very first marathon. I don't know what that time may look like. I know Amanda's probably going to start yelling in my ear because I want to do it with Amanda, who's Amanda Guy, our wonderful producer. We've been talking about it, so now there needs to be some action steps.
I mean, I'm running the Boston Marathon in April. Cross that off the list. Maybe find another marathon to do. That's kind of my running plan right now.
I think Ashley should do the 6 majors.
I don't know about that. That's expensive. That's a lot of travel. When am I going to find the time to get off from this job doing the podcast and whatnot to go run the 6 majors?
I'm not saying immediately, like 2024, but like eventually. Like within the next 5 years.
We'll see.
5 years.
We'll see how Boston goes first.
We would like to know what your 2024 goals are. I'm curious, honestly. I don't know about Ashley, but
sure.
I'm definitely curious. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Have a happy holiday, new year, and we'll catch you guys soon.